We're going to keep this very informal. It's just a wonderful opportunity to catch what Kishori and Ram are doing. It's wonderful. It's a real privilege to have you with us. And perhaps for people who don't know something about Ram and his ministry, Ram, could you tell us how you became a Christian in the first place? Could you tell us just briefly how you became a Christian?
If you'd like to listen in this detail, I was interviewed by the Premier Radio for almost 45 minutes. So they are going to put all my details on website, and also it will be aired through radio. And so I have mentioned all my testimony, all those things, and they are also going to publish. They are going to prepare a video as well. So how I became Christian? I was born and brought up in Hindu family, and when I was growing up, I saw my father and mother worshipping idols, temples, animals like dog, pigs, snakes. Everything is God for Hindu. They would worship trees, they would worship river, they would worship star, sun and moon. Everything is for their God. Everything is God for them. And they also do a lot of sacrifices. In every festival time, they would sacrifice goats, they sacrifice buffalo, they sacrifice sheep, they sacrifice birds. A lot of idol worshipping, a lot of evil spirit worshipping. And I simply did not like this one. I said, it doesn't give any sense why we human by being are sinful, we are sinner, and we're supposed to pay our cost, or we're supposed to pay, for being sinners. But why this animal has to be killed for our sake? So I had already questioned in my mind. That is one of the reasons. And another one, we have a feudal society. You know, in the village, there are rich people. They suppress the poor people. They work them very hard, and they give very less wages. And also there are low caste people, and they really persecute them. They really use as a slave. They misbehave them. They sexually abuse the low caste people. And there is no justice in the community. So if you are rich, you are like king. And when I saw those injustice in the community, I became a communist during my high school time. So I started fighting against all these negative things that was taking in the society. I was against of Hindu. I was against of this system. And I became a rebel. And I was fighting for the poor people, those who cannot speak. And I was involved so much, I got into trouble in the politics. You know, communism, they like to terrorize people, they like to loot people from rich people's house, they like to kill people. So some of my friends were involved in killing people. So they were being chased out by the police. And I was also chased by the police. Actually, I was not involved in that, but I was in that party. So I was in trouble. I was being chased by the police. So I ran away to India to save my life. And my life got into so much trouble. I didn't have peace. I didn't have happiness in my life. I was so much troubled. I didn't see any future in my life. And even from my family, they said, "Oh, you are crazy. You know, others, son, they are studying very well, but you are become communist. You know, and family also started, look down upon me. And even society, they thought this boy is rubbish, because he's in the politics. You know, he's not doing well. So." I started thinking, I must start my new life. I want to start my new life. So I was started searching for the God, searching for the peace in my heart. While searching for the peace, you know, I tried Hinduism, I didn't believe. Muslim, I didn't have faith. Buddhist, I didn't have faith. So I was thinking, who can give me a peace? Through which power I can transform my life? I want to be different. So I was studying in the college, and one of the friends in the college shared about Jesus Christ. And he simply said, if you accept Jesus Christ, no more sacrifice. If you accept Jesus Christ, no more karma. If you accept Jesus Christ, no more rituals. You are free from all rituals. You are free from all the cycles of the karma. You are free all the priesthood things. And you have direct relationship with God. You will be the priest. And yes, there is a very good connection to share gospel with to Hindu, because Hinduism is just like the Old Testament. You know, there is so many sacrifices, temple, idol, all these things. So he said, if you accept Jesus Christ, he has come on the earth to be a perfect lamb. So he has sacrificed himself for us. So we don't have to sacrifice animal or birds. That was very good to me. And because that was some of the things that was bothering or struggling me. So I accepted Jesus Christ in 1986. And I was involved in youth ministry. And 1989, I got sick. I will just tell you in brief. And I was very much sick, and you know, from my childhood. Am I taking so long time? Okay. From my childhood, I was suffering from a bronchitis. And I had a fever, and fever developed into pneumonia. Pneumonia developed into bronchitis. Bronchitis developed into bronchiectasis. And up to age 20, I never saw a hospital because I was in the rural area. Whenever I used to cough blood, whenever I used to cough so much phlegm, yeah, sputum. And just my mother used to give some rural medicine, and I was just living like that. And I was kind of, I had a kind of TV. So after I accepted Jesus Christ, and I got job in a mission hospital, a mission agency is called United Mission to Nepal, and they had a medical insurance. So I got sick again, and I went to hospital, and hospital doctor said that my right lung is completely damaged. It has to be removed, otherwise, you know, you may get cancer. So through the process of treatment, doctor also found that my heart is on the right side. Your heart is on the left side, but my heart is on the right side. So God has really uniquely, you know, created me. So doctor said, we have to remove your right lung, but your heart is on the right side. It's very, very difficult. And we also have to cut 3 ribs. So it's really almost impossible to do. But I prayed, and I shared this to my church members. They also encouraged. And I said, Lord, I would like to go for the operation. Please give me a new life. If I live again, then I'm going to commit my life to serve you. So I went to hospital. I stayed for 1 month in hospital. And my operation was successful. And I live only with my left lung. I have only half lung. And my heart is still on the right side. And I was suffering since, I think, 10 years with high blood pressure. And recently, I'm a friend of diabetic now. I'm a member of diabetic. So, you know, sometimes I feel I'm a bit worried, you know, because sometimes people will burn me alive. Because my sugar is low, I feel very, very weak. And sometimes I, you know, feel like, you know, falling down. So nowadays I don't feel embarrassed to ask food with anyone. I can just ask, do you have biscuit? Please, can you give me? Even on the way, you know, I said, oh, can I have, you know, biscuit yesterday? Yeah. Yeah, other day she took me to a hotel and was getting late. I said, no, I can't, you know, I need something to eat. So let's buy something before, you know, we wait for the food. So, you know, I rushed her to go to the find some food. So, and what happens, I feel like when I am unconsciously, when I fell down on the road, people might come and see, they will check my heartbeat. Where they will see, where they will check. They will check on the left side. This brother is gone. Bring a pull up tractor of woods, you know, burn him here. Or take him somewhere, you know, burn him. Because he's dead, because there is no heartbeat. And people will burn me alive. So please pray. That, you know, that I may not be burned alive, you know. So this is the issue I have, okay. So, let's go back to hospital. So after the hospital, operation was successful, and doctor said, okay, you go back and come back after 1 month. Usually what happens, sometimes doctor leave the cotton inside, scissor inside, gloves inside, and they just stitch. And you know, after 1 month they can find, or 6 months when you get, you know, pain, and they will come and they will try to see what happened. They will find, you know, scissor or whatever things. So doctor said, come back after 1 month, we'll see you. And I went to hospital after 1 month, and doctor checked everything. And doctor said, everything seems okay, but you have one problem. And I told, what is the problem? And he said, you will not have children. I was quoting her. So Lord, I'm quoting a beautiful girl, and I'm planning to get married, and I have already committed my life to serve you, and I want to serve you, and I want to have blessed life. I want to have family, and I want to serve together as a family. And how come doctor says I won't have children? And I told, are you sure, doctor, that I won't have children? I'm very much sure. The people with this kind of sickness will not have children. And I went for the checkup. Checkup says no. After 6 months, I went to another hospital. I did checkup. That hospital says no way. You can't have children. I said, what shall I do? Shall I tell this thing? If I tell her, she will kick me. Lord, what shall I do? I was crying. Lord, I want to get married. And I was praying. Finally, I decided, Lord, I'm not going to tell this one. I trust you. Because you gave me a new life. People didn't believe that I will come back alive from hospital. And you gave me a life. And I read a Bible. God gave children to Abraham. God gave children to Samuel's mother, Hannah, right? And I believe you. You are God that makes everything possible. And I trusted, and we started talking about the marriage, and we got married. And after 1 year, God gave a son. And we have a son, 25 years, and who is also serving Lord as a musician. So he has started a music store. And we have another daughter after 6 years, and she's 19 years old. And after that, I told God, no more. expensive. Expensive to, you know, have more baby. So we, you know, did something that will stop. Okay, so this is story, okay? So Lord has been so faithful and so gracious to us, and we are very much blessed with a church, a St. Lawrence Church, who has been partnering with us since long time. We are long-standing partner. So we really thank you very much for your prayer, for your support, and your love. And I always come. You might be fed up by seeing me all the time standing and, you know, sharing. But I really love you all, and I thank you all for generously supporting, especially for the earthquake. So I will go back to earthquake, okay?
Okay.
So it was on 25th of April, Sunday. You know, in Nepal, we meet on... No, it was Saturday. We meet on Saturday. Church meets on Saturday, not on Sunday. Because Saturday is our government holiday. And Sunday is our working day. So all churches meet on Saturday. It was just before 12, about to finish. Suddenly, whole building started shaking. Bench started shaking. Building started falling down. Walls started falling down. There was a big chaos. And you could see whole Kathmandu Valley like smoke, dust all over the Kathmandu Valley. And the church I was worshipping, thankfully, the roof was made of tin roof, so it didn't collapse. But people, there were around 500 people. They just ran wherever they found the ways. You know, I'm very much afraid of the crowd. And I didn't go through the window. I didn't go through the door. I jumped out of the window. And I had a big cut in my leg. So what happened? The mountains started falling. The house started falling. The school started falling. Buildings started falling. And almost 9,000 people died. You can imagine that was holy day. If it was a working day, if all the children were in school, you cannot imagine how many children would have been killed. You know, more than thousands of schools have been collapsed. Okay, so this is the picture. You see the city. And people were buried. And we had two earthquakes after 25th of April. And there was another earthquake, May 12th. It was 6.8. Those houses which were a little bit cracked because of the first earthquake and second earthquake collapsed. All houses, you know, collapsed. So... you see how people were feeling. So far, we have 400 aftershocks, which are above 4 Richter scale. Below 4 Richter scale, we don't know how many times. And people started coming on the street, and we started sleeping in the street, and there was no place, you know, inside because it's all, you know, destroyed. And all Kathmandu Valley came in the street. The living started sleeping. So we also ran away to the field, and we also slept in the field for 3-4 nights. We were out without shade, and it started raining. Can you believe? People didn't have plastic tent. You know, people didn't have proper, you know, shade, and it started raining. So you can see how much people suffered. So you can see how people slept there. You know, all the tents, and you know, there's no space. They're just sleeping. And there were dead bodies all over in Kathmandu. And they didn't have proper place where to bury or where to cremate there. So wherever the people found the places, they started burying the dead. And you see that we have a very beautiful historic heritage place, which is a UNESCO heritage sites for which the tourists usually go and see. So these were the main attraction of the tourists, for the tourists. Those all heritage gone. You see, that is the tower. It's like, I think 10-story tower, 20-story building tower. It's collapsed. This is the church. This church is a three-story building. You see, just, you know, collapsed. And that is a five-story building. The behind you see the blue, that's a different building. You see only the two-story level. And you know, three levels have gone down, sunk. There's a building have sunk inside. Because the Kathmandu is like bowl. It's a big bowl. In history says it used to be a big pond. One of the shades, the Hindu priest, cut off the cliff of the mountain, let all the water flow, and it was very fertilized land. But people started inhabited there, and they started building the house. So geographical, so how to say, land is not very tough, not solid. It's a very, you know, so much soft, you know, soil. So you see the building, they just sunk inside the, you know, soil. So this is the building, and around 27 people died in that building. That's another building, 7-story. That is a church that is also, destroyed. So almost 500, more than 500 Christian people were killed. So these are data. How many Christians have passed away? You know, the roads were broken, do you see? And for 2-3 weeks, there was no food available because roads were broken, splitted, and there was no transportation, so food didn't come from outside. So we very much suffered. So this is the block on the roads, with the villages in the mountain just collapsed. You know, this is the city. You see, there is old building collapsed. And how people have suffered. This is destruction. So, sorry for the spelling. See how people suffered. And after those people who received a tent, this tent you see that's given by China. After they built this tent, rainy season destroyed. You see the shelters. There was after 2-3 weeks, you know, Nepal turned like a war zone because you could see army from all over the world. They came to help. And the international community was very, very kind, very, very prompt. So far, government has given 15,000, which is a little bit above $100. $150. That's all the government has given to people. 15,000 rupees, which is above $100 for one family. That's what government has given. Government has received so much funds from international. But their criteria or their policy, their bureaucracy, their old system has delayed. And they are, you know, collecting money, and they are trying to plunder the money, you know, all those. So government has not been able to very helpful for this thing. So this is how people have suffered. And because of the earthquake, the land has become, So this is story. She's Anita. She is from our church, and she and her sister and mother, they were inside the home. When earthquake came, three of them along other people were dumped under the earthquake, under the rubbles. And for 2.5 hours, nobody came to rescue them. And after 2.5 hours, people came and they started digging, the soil or the rubbles, debris, and she was still unconscious. But she survived, but her mother and her sister died there. So this is the inner story. So we helped her to do her schooling because her father was not around. He used to work in Gulf, and after earthquake, her mother came, and now they are living. She's living with mother, but we are trying to help her for the education. This is, you see, the destructions of the heritage sites. What did we do after the earthquake? I requested our prayer partners, our link churches, and also CMS, please help us with a fund. We would like to help to 500 families to provide foods. So we prayed, and people really donated generously. They gave sacrificially, and I thank you all for prayer, for generous help, and the fund has come to us, and we purchased food, and we started going to the mountainous places and the villages, and we started distributing rice. So we have prepared a package which consists of a food item like 5 kilos of rice, half kilo of sugar, biscuits, noodles, soap, some spices, brass, all those things. So these are the things that we have supplied to the villages. Actually, I was praying for 500 families to be distributed, but the fund that came, we were able to help to 1,200 families. So we helped with the foods with the 1,200 families. And beside that, we also have distributed tents. You see the tents? People were able to live under the tents. And we have built this blue house. It's 20 houses. And we have built these 20 houses. We have partnered with the Manoj. And you see the blue houses that we have been able to build. So our plan is to build 100 houses in the future. But we have built so far 20 houses, semi-permanent house. Inside it's a metal frame, and people can live, one family can live very comfortably. We have also distributed this, we call zinc seats, I think you call corrugated seats, yeah? Corrugated seats. So we have distributed more than 200 bundles. So people can build one shelter with two bundles. It means 100 shelter can be built with 200 bundles. So we have distributed this zinc sheets distribution. We have also built a church, because so many churches were destroyed. And you see our missionary here. And this is the church which was destroyed, and he lived in tent, and he used to have worship there. And later on, we helped him to build that one again. So this is the place, that is the place where we went. And we are serving with, we are working with our missionary, because missionary has become very effective because of the relief work. So I will tell this impact. Before, Christians were considered like enemy in society. They used to hate Christian because they thought that these people are coming and invading, trying to make a Christian. They are always trying to push, you know, like they would like to give a Bible, they would like to distribute Bible, they would like to share gospel. They would always, you know, think that Christians are stupid people. You know, they are bad people. So they had kind of hostile relationship between a Hindu and Christian. But after this relief work, because Christians were very much effective, because right after the earthquake, so many churches, so many Christian organizations started distributing. So we also used our missionary, because we have more than 100 missionaries. So we used our missionary to do the relief work, and they go villages and they serve. So they didn't preach gospel. They didn't distribute Bible. They didn't distribute tracts. They just went and said, "We are Christian. We want to love you, and we like to give you this, relief materials." So when they distributed, the relationship was very much positive, and they used to think that Christians are bad people. Christians always try to Christianize society, but they, after the relief work, after the helping out to them. Now they think, oh, Christians are good people. You know, they are good neighbor. They love us. Nobody came to us to distribute foods. Nobody came to us to give the shelter. These Christian brothers and sisters have come and they have given food, they have given shelter. So, the perspective of Hindu has become different now. It's been changed. And because of the result, because of the impact, now we receive report saying that now people are coming to the church. Those people who received, you know, relief materials are coming to the church to see, you know, what makes Christian different. You know, why they are so much loving and caring. And they start coming to the church and new souls have been added in the churches. So there's a huge impact. There's a huge transformation taking place. And Lord has really blessed Nepali churches. I think it was physically, it's a bad because so many people have died. But spiritually, there are two things happen. Because Nepali churches were not very much in charity. Churches were not very much in doing social work. They were good at gospel. They are good at preaching, planting the church. But they are not good at loving with resources. You know, charity work, developing society, being part of the community. You know, after the earthquake, the church learned how important it is to share our resources to our neighbors who are suffering. So that is the impact. And also because of the relief work, so many people have started coming to the church and they are becoming, you know, a Christian in the church. So once again, I would really like to thank you very much. I'm sorry I have taken so long time because of the Pastor Reverend Andrew. He asked me testimony, to say testimony. So thank you very much once again for praying, supporting, sending fund, being so generous, giving sacrificially. God bless you.
Now, I think we have a few minutes. Do you have any sort of burning questions which perhaps have not been answered already this morning, which perhaps Ram could share with us? Any sort of burning questions?
The slum village that we visited, how was that affected?
Slum was not destroyed. But what happened? Slum was very much a strategic place. Because what happened, those rich people who were living in big, big building, after the earthquake, they ran away. Because in Kathmandu, we don't have open space like you have. Everywhere you see the concrete houses, jungle of concrete. So they ran to the slum area. And slum people were the ones to help these people, to give the shelter. So this is how the slum people have helped. Physically, slums were not damaged. They were not affected. I would like to request you to pray for. We still have fund. There's still people sending funds. So we are praying to appoint one disaster relief coordinator. So after I go, we have some applicants who are ready to, you know, be interviewed. So I will interview and we'll appoint one. So we are going to appoint one relief coordinator for 1 year because we still have fund and it requires a lot of traveling because I travel a lot and, you know, it puts me behind my administrative work. So please pray that we will get a qualified coordinator and he will take over all the relief work.
Thank you very much. Any other questions? Dr. Kirk.
Ram, thank you very much indeed for very informative and very challenging address this morning. A couple of related questions. One is, what kind of frequency do you get earthquakes of that magnitude in Nepal? And the second related question is, what kind of preparation is it possible to make in the event of future earthquakes?
We almost get once a week tremor. Once a week we get tremor, like 3 or 4, still there was a 5 Richter scale. So the information we receive that they won't be a bigger than that, but there would be more coming because there's no land has not settled yet. So there will be more aftershocks coming in the future. So we get once a week, you know, tremor. So we just, you know, we play hide and seek. Just run out of the house, just wait for some time and go and sleep. And you can't sleep rest, you know, quietly. It's always, you know, trouble. So now children are traumatized, you know, they can't sleep properly. You know, we are very much afraid. Even if something, we hear a big noise, we feel like there is an earthquake here, even here. So we are really also traumatized also. Regarding preparation, government of Nepal was new. They knew, and they were informing public that there will be earthquake coming anytime. But government was not prepared. People were not prepared because we have old house, and nobody is going to destroy their old house and build a new house because they don't have land. So they were forced to live in the same houses. Government was not prepared. You know, when there was an earthquake, after earthquake, we didn't have a plastic to cover the shade. So we had to bring all from India. So now, yes, government has put some restrictions. If we are going to build a house, they have to follow some criteria. Yes, it will, people will follow for some year, maybe 2 or 3 years. But people are very smart. They will ask engineer or government, okay, for the one-story building or two-story, two-level building. So they will get, they will have the blueprint passed from the constituents or parliament or whatever government's local office. After 3 years, they will start building up the building. So they get approval for the two levels with all measure, all the restrictions. But after a few years, they will start building the building. So government doesn't know. You know, so they have permission only for two levels. Now they have 7 levels after 7 years. That's how all the building have collapsed. So there is some, you know, regulation, but people, they don't follow that regulation. Yes. Yeah, you may have heard, we were waiting for 8 years to write a constitution in Nepal. And after 8 years, Nepal has drafted a new constitution. Nepal is a good thing. Nepal used to be a Hindu country, but now Nepal has become a secular country. So that is good for us. But the law of conversion is still there. We are not allowed to convert anyone. It's a conversion is prohibited. The preaching gospel is prohibited, but government says it's a secular country. Okay. What happened? This new constitution has upset Indian. Because there are a big ethnical group that lives in the southern belt, the ethnical group they live, which are a bit loyal to India. So they are demanding that they must have a separate country. Like now Nepal has become a federal country. We have only one country. Now country is divided into 7 states based on tribes, based on geographical, based on language. So now this group is saying, no, we have to have a whole range under our state because they are like Indian origin people. So India is demanding that they must have separate states, which is not their business, because it's a sovereign country. That's one thing. So government, Nepali government, did not give that whole range as one state, because they have divided, because there are some other group of people as well. That's one thing. And Indian government was demanding that Nepal must be a Hindu country. And it didn't happen. And there are other issues like, you know, there are so many Indian people have migrated to Nepal. And we have different category of citizenship. If you have recently migrated from other country, then you are not allowed to be a prime minister, you are not allowed to be a president, you are not allowed to be a supreme of the court, you know, there are some restrictions. But India is asking that those people who have recently migrated could be given that higher position. So all things, Nepal said, no, we can't do it. Because of that, India now upset. They have bored, they have, you know, there's a big agitation going on in the southern area, and now the India government has blocked it. You know, they have like, how to say, they have blocked the border. Because 99% of things we get from India, now they have blocked the roads. They said, no, there's agitation happening in Nepal, there's no security, and because of that, you know, they are blocking the roads. So now we don't get petrol, we don't get food, we don't get things from India, and there's a huge problem in Nepal. So please pray. Now we heard the Nepali government has some reserve petrol, and they are using like, you know, how to say, even number. You know, they are like, if you have, how to say that, like two number, three number, or nine number, how to say that? That number. Yeah. So the government is requesting public to not drive all, you know, all vehicle. They will have to restrict. So government is trying to do that work, but there is a huge problem in Nepal politically. So please pray that, you know, things will be solved in the future. It seems there is going to be almost like a war, you know. China says, no, don't worry, we will provide you food. And now, you know, some people group are against the China because they have started burning the China flag. Those people who are agitating. And China is upset with India. Because of you, the people in Nepal are burning our flag. You know, so there is a lot of problem happening in Nepal. So please pray. One after another, things is happening.
Final question, maybe? Anyone got a final question? Before we pray for Kasheri and for Ram? No? Well, look, Ram, would you like to come just into the middle here? And perhaps Kasheri, would like to come as well and be good to pray for them? Shall we all stand and pray for them? You might like to put a hand on their shoulder as well. Be good to pray for them. They're going back to a difficult situation sometimes when there's lots of uncertainty, not quite sure what's going to happen. So let's pray for God's blessing upon this wonderful couple in their ministry for the Lord and for the church in Nepal. Let's pray for them. Father God, we want to thank you so much for the message we have heard today. We thank you that in Jesus Christ you have called us to be members of your church worldwide. And we pray for the church of Christ in Nepal. We thank you for the way that the gospel has been making inroads. Even in the midst of terrible disaster and crisis, people are reaching out with the gospel through this event. And we thank you that the image of the church has been changed, that people have seen that they want to care for others, to feed them, to give them shelter and clothing. Lord, we want to pray that the churches would build upon this. But Lord, things are very uncertain, being sandwiched between those great superpowers of India and China. And we want to pray for real wisdom for the Nepalese government. We want to pray against violence, against riots, against further things that would make the situation worse. Lord, we want to pray that petrol and food and other provisions would be freely available again in that country that has gone through so much. Lord, we pray for your protection and your safety for Ram and Kesher as they go back to Nepal this week. Give them a good night's sleep. Give them rest. Give them refreshment. And Lord, they go with our blessing and with our prayers. Lord, be with this couple, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. May God bless you both in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, and thank you so much for sharing with us today. Shall we give them a round of applause? Thank you so much.
Now, since of the promulgation of the constitution, Hindu are very much upset because they were demanding that Nepal must be a Hindu. Now they have started bombing the churches. So just 2 weeks back, they bombed 4 churches. And because they are waging the fight against Christian, so they said the Christian don't belong here. So please pray for the protection also. You know, the Hindu are planning to, you know, harm Christians because they are very much upset. One of the reasons, because now Hindu is ruling the India, like Hindu party is ruling the India. So Hindu of India is, you know, trying to, you know, instigate these disturb things, yeah.
Thank you so much. Do pray for Ram and Keshishri. I think they're going to the school tomorrow. They have other sort of appointments, not just to eat, but also to tell other people about other things. So do pray for them in the last few days in this country. Now, I think you all have homes to go to, and I have to lock up the church after you've all left. So God bless you, and thank you very much for staying around after today. Thank you.